Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Auburn Express, powered by
the Water Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Let's get into this discussion, gentlemen. We want to determine, we talk a lot about the floor when it comes to QP production. We want Auburn, we need Auburn to raise its floor, right? We knew what the floor was last year. Just dealing with the starting QB, Peyton Thorne, 62 completions out of 265 attempts, 61% completion percentage, 1,755 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a QBR rating of 129.1. We talk about raising the floor. What does that realistically look like? Hugh Freeze has been a head coach for 10 seasons. He's been coaching for 10 seasons across Arkansas State, Ole Miss, Liberty, and now at Auburn. So what we did is we took the starting QB of each year that Hugh Freeze was a head coach, except for 2016, because he did that. Technically, that's his 11th year, but he got fired early in the season there. So we don't count that year. We took each year except 16 and came up with the averages of each of these particular characteristics and stats. So we want to start with, let's start with completions. Y'all want to start with there or start? We can start attempts, actually. Let's talk attempts. So the average here is, drum roll. Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. I was trying to beat the mic.
364. That is the average across all QBs under a Hugh Freeze offense, including last year.
Well, let's clarify, Caesar. So it's across all starting QBs.
All starting QBs.
So this isn't for a season with all the QBs. This is just the starter for that season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the average number of passing attempts made. Again, that is 99 more pass attempts than what we did last year. So when we talk about raising the floor, is this a reasonable, realistic number? The most pass attempts ever made by a QB under a starting QB under Hugh Freeze was 476. That was by Ryan Applin at Arkansas State.
Yeah, they slung the ball around that year.
The lowest is actually not even Peyton Thorne. It's Jonathan Bennett in 2022, but an asterisk there, they dealt with a lot of injuries to their QB room. He just happens to have the most passing attempts. Ike, your thoughts on this particular stat, 364, is that a reasonable floor moving forward for Auburn, in your opinion?
I mean, yeah. Do we know what the average was for a QB in the SEC last year? Like, how far away is that from what people are doing in this day and age? Because, you know, I wonder, back when Hugh Freeze was doing this in his offenses at Ole Miss and, you know, Arkansas State, it was novel for you know, teams to throw that much, right? Like, they're just running offenses were the flavor. And so I just wonder, yeah, is that even like a reasonable expectation for now, or is that even underperforming what people are doing right now? I don't know the answer to that, but I'd say as a floor, sure. Yeah. I mean, this is the day and age where people are throwing the darn football. We need to be doing it too. That doesn't mean, and I think that there's this misconception that throwing the ball more means that you necessarily have to run the ball less. It only means that if you're not throwing the ball well, right? If you're completing a lot of those passes, you'll get more opportunities to run because you'll have more first downs, therefore more plays in a game. So throwing the ball more doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to run the ball as well.
For reference, like 10 QBs in the SEC last year had 327 or more passes.
So yes, this is right where you probably want to be. You want to be above what the average is if you're in the kind of offense that Coach Hugh Freeze wants to run. And I expect our offense to be a little bit more proficient in being able to move the ball down the field. So, yeah, I think that's a realistic expectation for the floor.
Of the QBs who had less than 327 pass attempts were KJ Jefferson, Jalen Milroe, who we knew ran the ball a lot, and Will Rogers, who didn't was the essentially
look at that, right? You're looking at quarterbacks who the opportunities are there lessened because they are using their legs more, right? And so I don't want that to be the case for Coach Hugh Freeze and Auburn next year. I want the running backs to be runners and the quarterback to be a thrower. It's a novel concept, but follow me. Your quarterback throws the football and your running backs run the football.
Right.
Groundbreaking, I know. I think so, I just revolutionized the game of football right there in that statement for y'all, but let's run with it.
Yeah. I think of the QB, it should be noted, right? Like of the QB rating of those starting quarterbacks, if you go through the top 15, Peyton Thorne had the lowest QB rating of any quarterback in the SEC. And only Will Rogers had fewer pass attempts because he did not finish the season.
Yeah. Right. So, Mike, you agree with that number being the floor? Is that right where Auburn needs to be in terms of, again, the floor? Obviously, there's an opportunity where Auburn can throw more than that, obviously, but you want to be somewhere around there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think that that's an exact number. Can we pull that up again for everybody to see while we're talking?
Yeah.
Look, 364 attempts is a good amount, and it's fairly prolific at Auburn. Auburn just doesn't throw the ball that much, guys. So to have a QB get anywhere near this probably means a couple things. In a bad sense, it could mean you're playing a lot from behind, and so you're throwing the ball around a lot. Or your passing game is working, and you're completing passes at a high level, and fans are going to hope that it's the latter. So this is today's game. This is today's game of college football. You got to be able to throw the ball. You can't not throw the ball and then expect to be able to only throw it when you have to, when everybody expects that it's coming. The play calling was unimaginative. It was not creative at times last year. And the quarterback was unable to execute, as well as the receivers unable to execute. That is a recipe for disaster. They got to get this fixed. You got to get north of 300 pass attempts for your starting QB next year. And you got to do it now.
Well, let's look at completions. Average number of completions over the course is, and Mike kind of looked that up in terms of what you saw in completions too in the SEC. 266 completions. That's the average number of completions in a season for a starting QB under Hugh Freeze. The highest number, again, all relative to the number of attempts, Ryan Appel with 304. The least number of completions actually this time was Malik Willis, it looks like, with 100 and... No, that's not true. That's not true. Jonathan Bennett again. Jonathan Bennett again in 2022 at Liberty with 131.
Okay. So let me interject this here real quick. 266 completions would have been good for top three in the SEC last year. They've been good for top three. Spencer Rattler had 275 completions and Carson Beck had 302 completions, guys. The average here under, you know, what you said that, what was his name?
Did
you
Jonathan Bennett?
Yeah. Like, look, man, at the end of the day, if Hugh Freeze hits his career averages here at Auburn, somehow the game has changed a little bit. But if he hits them, Auburn is humming. This is why Hugh Freeze got hired.
Right.
This is exactly why you hired him, to bring those numbers here and make you top three in the league in most of these offensive statistical categories.
Is it realistic to say that this is the floor, though?
Well,
top
I mean,
three in the league it, as a floor, I think, is a little high. I mean, so yeah. Well, it's not as
and those attempts have to go up, though. Those attempts have to go up. I mean, for this number to go up.
I agree.
How many attempts did Peyton Thorne have last season?
He had 265.
He had fewer attempts than average completions under and Hugh Freeze's
offense. How many completions did he have last season?
162.
162. So you said his average right now, what was the number to what?
The 260, talking about completions?
Yes.
266.
So he'd have to complete 100 more passes to even hit the average of what Coach Hugh Freeze normally has?
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow. Like I'm saying, I don't know if that's the floor, though. I think based on where we are, that might need to be the ceiling.
Wow.
Pass attempt. This all goes back. Pass attempts have to go up significantly. Yeah.
Wow.
Right, because if the averages hold for completion percentage, there's no way to get to that. Well,
that's why I say I think number. The attempts number, you can definitely get to that, right? Like you could throw 100 and some more passes this next season, and that's not.
Listen, these cute these re-
complete
listen.
Complete another 100.
Hugh Freeze is pulling receivers all over, baby. If he's doing that,
yikes.
Or you're dinking and dunking. Right. You're going like 2023 Oregon.
Okay, let's contextualize this though, right? So what was the attempts number again, the average?
The average is 364.
364.
I'm sorry. I think we had 226. I think I misspoke.
The average number of
the average completion is 226. I think you typed in 266, Mike.
Okay, 226, sorry. Fine. And the average number of attempts was what?
364.
All right. And Peyton Thorne threw how many passes last season? Attempts.
265.
265. Yep. And he completed how many?
162.
162. All right. So
he had to complete 64 more passes.
Yikes.
That's a steep hill to climb.
He had to complete 64 more passes.
So my point here is if your floor of attempts, if we're saying you got to throw it like 100 more passes.
Right, because he's a 60-something percent, so that would get you your 60 more passes. He throws 100 more passes, he completes 60% of them, that gets you your 60-something passes.
All right.
Completions.
Okay.
They got to throw the ball more. Yeah. They have to throw the ball more.
I agree. Well, you do. Okay. But this is interesting to talk through. Let's talk completion percentage. Now that we've talked attempts, we've talked completions, what would the percentage look like? Here's the average. 62%.
And Peyton Thorne last year was 59.
He was 61.
Peyton Thorne was right there.
Okay.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. His averages that he brought over from Michigan State, they held. This is why I think that on this show, we were so frustrated at how little they were letting him throw the ball, because he's always been a low 60% completion guy. He's never shown himself to be more than that. So if you're going to take the ball out of his hands more, and his legs weren't enough to compensate for those fewer attempts, right? 500 something yards on the ground. It just wasn't enough, man. If you're only going to pass for 1,700 yards, that's including the bowl game. Exclude the bowl game. He finished below 1,700 yards because Robbie Ashford didn't get a bowl game last year, guys. And he finished with like 1,620. That's why we bring him up in this discussion. We're like, yo, he didn't do better at all than Robbie did in 9 full starts the season before and a hurt arm. So when I'm on the passing game and people are like, you got to give it time, my G. I was like, no, man, this thing went backwards. It went backwards. And this is a deeper hole to dig out of than what he started with. Now, and what I hope, it, guys, doesn't happen is that the responsibility for digging out this hole doesn't fall on the new freshman receiver.
And two, I want to point this out too, Mike. I think this is a good point Brad makes here. 7 games under 20 attempts.
Yeah,
systemically, Peyton can only do so much. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you're improving the system and the play calling and what you're executing, you would have to think that all things being equal, we are able to begin to approach what we are assuming to be is the new floor.
Yeah. A lot of it, again, the tug of war, right? The switching of QBs, all this stuff that was coaching in my book over players, the types of plays they were calling, you know, the route run, like it was just all, I just hope that we don't get in here. I'm the first time somebody says, tries to come down our top 5 pick overall in Cam Coleman, I'm going to break a monitor because it's not this kid caught everything that's thrown at him all night and then suddenly he gets here and he can't catch. And I felt like that about a lot of these kids. These kids know how to catch the ball. This has been a systemic issue for a long time. So you keep cycling through coaches trying to find a guy who's going to fix it, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
So in year 2, Freeze just has to show that this is moving the right direction. Like, look, if they got halfway to these averages that we've talked about so far, I'd be happy in year 2. Halfway, maybe in the middle. You 300.
I'm gonna hold you. I'm not. You need to be there. Like, I think it's in this day and age of football. It's kind of inexcusable for your passing offense to be pedestrian. And halfway there is still pedestrian.
I'm gonna agree with Ike, just considering we went backwards in terms of floor.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. We have a lot of ground to make up.
I don't care that it's just season 2. It needs to look drastically better, in my opinion. It just does. There's been upgrades by everyone's account in the wide receiver room. Our offensive line, there's a reshuffle that's happened there. I think the talent floor in that offensive line is better this season. Now you just got to get the quarterback right. Your running back room looks exactly the same. Your tight end room is essentially exactly the same. Get the freaking quarterback right, and let's get this offense moving in a positive direction as far as passes are concerned. Like, just all right. Let's get out of the cellar.
Exactly. First down, Auburn. see more of that. First down, Auburn.
Let's look at average passing yards.
All right. It's going to shock some people.
4? We sure?
Well, yeah. I think it's going to shock some people how far off Auburn is going to be. Put the number up.
This is the average number of passing yards in a season.
Playoffs, Caesar. Playoffs.
Average yards. Passing yards. Playoffs.
Come on, man.
Okay, Ike, talk to me. Hold on, Mike. All right. I know you juiced up. Talk to me, Ike. Talk to me, dude. You said you need to see something.
Yeah.
29-23.
Right.
How close?
25.
If on the target.
25 at minimum needs to be.
That's the floor. That's the floor. No excuses.
I feel like it's bad at 2,500 yards. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I feel like
that's 1,200 yards of improvement.
And I still feel as if you're only at 2,500 yards, you're still not really good at it. You're just good enough where people have to say, well, they can throw the ball, kind of.
You accept that if your quarterback is running 4,000 yards a season.
Or you have too close to 1,000 yard running backs, right? Like, where your running is so prolific where you can get by offensively with 2,500 passing yards and it not feel as if you're like halting in at the tempo at which Coach Hugh Freeze wants to play, though. I don't know how you stay at 25, but my point is that your run game's got to be so good next year that 2,500 doesn't feel bad.
But hear me out. That completion percentage needs to go up. If you're going to be at 2,500 yards, your quarterback needs to be in the mid to high 60s in terms of completion percentage.
I'll agree with that. Because the number of passes that you'll have in that sort of range will be less than what it would. Right. So, yes, I agree.
Yeah. So if the pass attempts are still low, they still have to respect his arm because he's a high 60% completion guy. And if you give it to him, he's likely going to hit it.
To Ike's point, you're completing high passes at a higher clip, meaning you're creating more opportunities to run the ball.
Or you're pretty your run game is so good that you're throwing layups out there because they're just like, all right, cool. Well, we have to stop the run. So now you've got a bunch of one-on-one opportunities and you've got guys running wide open.
That was the Auburn football that was successful in the past. The run game was so good that when the quarterback dropped back, he had layups.
Right.
Yeah, because they were creep, creep, creep. And when Jeremy Johnson took over at quarterback after Nick Marshall, I think that's where fans thought this was going. Right. Now we have a pure passer where it's going to set up in reverse. Right. He's going to be so accurate that they're going to have to back off the line. And then we still got gangster running backs. So we're just going to hand it to them and they're going to run wild. Because the passing game is so accurate. It has always been the run sets up the pass at Auburn. And you know what we've seen is we've seen the proliferation of offenses where it is the pass sets up the run. That's what we're seeing in college football today. Quarterbacks are getting more accurate. They're slinging the ball around. Receivers are making circus catches, routine catches, average catches. They're making all the catches. But that's because the system is setting – they're scheming guys open. And it's not just that the receivers are catching everything that hits their hands, man. Like, they're catching high percentage throws. We're throwing low percentage throws and then getting mad when it's not caught by average receivers.
Let me give you guys some context real quick. Let me give you some context. Malik Willis in 2020 ran crazy.
Yep.
But he threw for 2260, had a completion percentage of 64, close to the mid.
Mids, yeah.
20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. In year 2 of Malik Willis, the year that he pretty much got himself drafted, he threw for 2,800 yards, completion percentage of 61, right around the average, 27 touchdowns.
What were the rush yards?
I don't have the rush yard. He rushed less, though, that year. I can look it up.
But you accept that because he's closer to that 3,000-yard mark.
Yeah. Right.
Don't tell me it can't be done. 2 years ago, the Pack produced 3,000-yard passers. 8 of them. That same year, the SEC had 5. Why can't Auburn get somebody just in that room? This is baffling to me, but I don't
878 yards, Mike, in 2021.
And he was still just south of 1,000-yard rush.
Oh, you're lethal.
You're crazy at that number. If you put those numbers at Auburn next year, Auburn's in a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. There's no way our quarterback throws for 2,800 yards, runs for 800 yards, has close to 30 touchdowns, and Auburn isn't a top 4 team in the SEC.
The only way you can convince me that you're going to give me those numbers from that offense and Auburn isn't is if that defense completely falls apart.
Ooh, yeah, that's it. That's it. If you're right, you're right. If the defensive averages hold true and they have 6 games where they give up less than 2 scores next year, like they did this year, 6 games.
Yeah.
Where teams fail to score more than 14 points on Auburn's defense. That's a 10-win team, easy.
Yeah.
On last year's schedule, because you beat Bama, you beat New Mexico State. You may sneak one on Ole Miss, right? And now we're at 9 wins, and then just throw a rock at one of these other games. You win your bowl game. You win your bowl game.
Malik almost rushed for 1,000 yards in his first year starting. So basically, his rushing yards didn't drop off that much in year 2. He just began to sling the ball around.
Yeah. Guys, I'm telling you, Hugh Freeze was brought here for this express purpose. And, you know, some people may get tired of the quarterback talk, but throughout the spring, this is going to be beat home because it's going, whether Auburn takes a step forward or not as a team hinges on whether they can take steps towards becoming that. Now, we've heard from our sources that internally they feel like they're not going to have all the pieces till 2025. Okay, I can accept that. But you can't have another year like last year and tell me that suddenly in 2025 you're going to make that meteoric jump of over 100 more pass attempts and, you know, 60 more completions and a mid to high 60s completion percentage and what ultimately would be like, what, 15 more touchdowns? What? No way, man. You have to take some steps this year, regardless of whether next year's QB is going to be your QB or not. There's got to be some sign of it, right? Like the receivers, you know, are playing better. You know, again, pass attempts are up. There's got to be some sign of it statistically, even if it doesn't translate in the win-loss column, because that's possible. Other teams are getting better too. That's why I'm not so big so much next year on where they finish, as long as it's not a losing record. And I'm just looking statistically to say, hey, look, man, statistically, this, you know, let me just say this, and I know it's basketball, but hear me out, right? When Auburn finished non-conference play on the women's side, I tweeted out that I thought that Auburn had two tournament teams. They started the SEC play 0-3, and everybody jumped on me. Great call, Mike. There was a whole message board thread. I got Dustin send it to me about good call, Mike. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I was like, look, did y'all watch those games, though? They held a lead on Tennessee at halftime. They lost to Ole Miss by 3. Texas A&M was a blowout. But if you watch those games, two of those three games showed the signs that Johnny Harris was moving this team forward. 0-3, and that's how you show up in game 4 and you beat the defending national champs. That's what they did. That's all I'm looking for Auburn football next year. Show me the statistical signs that you're moving this thing forward, and I will accept 7 wins. But it's put some sugar on this poop, man, and make it look good, at least for year 2.
Put some sugar on this poop. What?
I was going to say the other word, but it's Sunday. I'm trying to keep busy, but you know what I mean?
Put some sugar. Shit. Wow.
Yeah, and make it look good and at least give people
lie the hope to me, baby. That
you're on the cusp. Yeah, because this is how a middling team, you know, sneaks into top 25 of the preseason standings next year, because you show these things, and when they're looking at it, they're like, Auburn's close. They're close, yeah. Right? And if it's not Peyton Thorne, ditch him early in this thing, man. I'm sorry, dude. This dude has had 3 years to prove that he can do it consistently as a starter. When you're at Auburn, 2 years at Michigan State, you know, stop holding up the line here at QB and give somebody else a chance. Because if I'm Hank Brown, I'm sitting on the bench, I'm like, what else do I got to do, baby? You called on me cold from the back of the pack, and I came in and I completed 7 of 9 passes for over 100 yards. In game, not in practice, in game. I don't want to hear anything about how he's doing in practice. I'm not even going to watch him at practice. It doesn't matter. We got open practice Tuesday. I'm thinking, watch it, that's it. Who cares? Whatever you saw in practice last year, and then you told us he was the guy. I don't want to see that, man. I want to see it in game. And if he starts, so be it. But I'll tell you what, in those first 3 games, statistically, it should look smoother. It should look better. It should look more mature. It should look more polished. And if it doesn't, that's on Hugh Freeze. Because he's the play caller now. Phillip Montgomery's gone. You hired your guy in Derek Nix. There's nowhere for the blame to go but onto the players if you're not going to take it. And I don't want to hear it. I mean, look, if you pick the guy and he goes out there and he does what he's been doing, well, I'm going to get mad at him for it. I'm mad at you. You put him in.
Yeah. Well, Mike's been a little passive about this topic. You got some thoughts?
Oh, I want to see it again. You remember that first spring under Harsin? And we was watching the spring game. And I was like, what is this? What are we watching? You were supposed to be the change we voted for.
Well,
the same old policy.
A lot of people didn't vote for that change, but it was a change we got. Do we want to look at some of the other stats? We want to take a break. Did you have some thoughts?
Let's go to break.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
All right, listen, this has been a great conversation. I've been enjoying this. Mike's animated. I'm loving this. Guys, share this conversation with those smash that like button, get the likes up, show us some love, and subscribe if you're new to the channel. Let's pause, pay some bills, and we will come right back to continue to talk some stats here. Let's get back into it. We have a pretty spirited combo going today. Let's talk touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the average. The average is 21. Now, we wasn't too far off from this last year. Yeah. Payne Thorne threw for 16.
Mm-hmm.
Is 21 a reasonable floor moving forward, Ike?
That's got to be higher than that.
The floor?
Yeah, I think you need to be closer to 25. I mean, it's not only have to be a lot higher, but I think 25 touchdown passes is where I'd like to see the quarterback. Really, it's
unless you're going to add 10 on the ground.
Really, it's touchdown to interception
ratio. Mike, could you look at what people, what guys was doing last year in SEC?
In terms of touchdowns? Yeah, I have it here.
But hold that. Keep going, Mike. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Touchdown to interception ratio is really kind of what is going to matter, right? Because if you're going to throw, what did you say Thorne threw last year?
Touchdown. 16.
16, right? So if he's going to get to the number I'm suggesting, which is 25, that means he's got to throw 9 more touchdowns, which is easily accomplished, right? You've got 12 games to get 9 touchdowns. I don't want to see him throw another 6 or 7 picks in that, though, right? You know what I'm saying? I want hit the touchdown to interception ratio really needs to be closer to 3-1, preferably 4-1. But he's got to do more touchdowns without raising the number of interceptions again. But I think this gets accomplished with the temps going up. You throw the ball more, you're going to throw more touchdowns.
But at the touchdown to interception ratio he had last year, he throws 5 to 6 more touchdowns. I mean, interceptions with per 100 attempts, right,
which is what I don't want to see.
Because he threw one interception per about every 23 attempts last year.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. When you heard Coach Hugh Freeze talk about the 4 qualities he wants to see in his quarterback, he started down his list. He stopped and he went back. He said, number 1, take care of the football. So I need to see the quarterback position take care of the football, value possessions a little bit better for Auburn this season than it has in the last few seasons. Like, really, that was a problem for Robbie Ashford when he started. He didn't value the football enough. He fumbled it when he got it, right? Or he threw a pick too often. That was an issue for him. I felt like Bo Nix got better at that as he got older. He got a little bit more gun-shy, but he got better at valuing the football. You know, freshman Bo Nix was I won't say a turnover machine, but he definitely put the ball in harm's way a little too much, right? And that's kind of the worry that you have for trying to rush the process with Walker White, is that he's not going to be able to value the football the way that you want to, just because he won't see it the way that you need to. But yeah, we got to value the ball a little bit better. And 25, I think, is really where I would love the floor to be for Auburn as far as touchdowns on the season.
Okay, so you're saying 25. Of the 10 seasons of Hugh Freeze, only 3 QBs have thrown for over 25 touchdowns.
Great. Set a new precedent. Let's go.
Okay. All right.
So tell me Malik how Willis realistic that is based upon what you're looking at in SEC quarterbacks last year, Mike.
Only 2 QBs threw for 25 or more touchdowns. Devin Leary and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, 40 touchdowns. Devin Leary threw for 25. Carson Beck threw for 24. Jalen Milroe threw 20.
Carson was close.
Okay, so 24 is fine. Like, I don't, but still, that puts you in the upper echelon as far as number of touchdowns in the league.
Yeah. Jackson Dart, 23. But hear me out, guys, right? When you look, Devin Leary threw the most interceptions. So he had like a 2-1 kind of touchdown interception ratio because he had 12 interceptions. But Jaden Daniels only threw 4 interceptions. Carson Beck, 6. Milroe, 6. Jackson Dart, 5. Brady Cook, 6.
How many did Brady Cook have last year? Touchdowns?
21. 21-6.
Right. And the average that we were saying from
21 was 21.
All right. So I mean, I'd be willing to look
at his interceptions would have to go down.
22, yeah. 23, I think, is a good number then.
I'm looking at guys like Ryan Applin and Bo Wallace, right? These guys threw the ball a lot. However, neither of those guys, the most anyone threw in touchdowns was 22, and that was Bo Wallace. He did it twice in year 1 and year 3 of him being a starting QB. Right. Their interceptions, however, were kind of high.
They were high, yes.
They were high.
So I'll back off of my 25 number and come down to 23 as what I'd like to see.
I love the habit. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I just, that's kind of high.
But you got to be single-digit interceptions, though.
Yeah.
You have to be single digit because that's what the numbers in the SEC show last year, right? I mean, honestly, the only two quarterbacks that were double-digit interceptions last year were Peyton Thorne and Devin Leary. Everybody else had eight or fewer interceptions. So you can't be bottom of the league in pass attempts and completions and then top of the league in interceptions.
Which is ridiculous. Again, that's why I go back to his statement of valuing the football being number one. That's got to be what I don't want to see. What I don't want to see is that, and I fear that this what may happen, is that because valuing the football is going to be such an emphasis during this offseason for Peyton Thorne, that he becomes more trigger shy, gun shy, where he doesn't want to throw. It's like, oh, and he becomes so tentative that now he's taking more sacks or he's taking off and running more in situations where he should have thrown the football. But I need for the coaching staff to stress with him the importance of it and him making good decisions with the football. Good decisions with the football isn't just not throwing the ball when you're unsure. It's also throwing the ball when it's supposed to get thrown, right? And so I don't need him to become, I don't want to throw it now because I might throw a pick guy. If you're going to be the high interception guy that you were last year, or you're going to be the gun shy, I don't want to throw it because I wasn't sure guy, please sit. I can't live with that with a fifth year quarterback. As a guy who wants to see this offense succeed, I can't live with a fifth year quarterback playing that way.
Yeah, I think it's really important to note, though, with a lot of these guys that, you know, even though their touchdown, ceiling may have been a little bit lower, they're running the ball. A lot of these guys are running, obviously, Jay Daniels had, 50 total touchdowns on the year, right? So he had 10 on the ground and 40 through the air. But these other guys are adding in, 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns on the ground as well, too. So, the run game is a part of this. Your quarterback needs to be able to move. I think that Freeze definitely likes a guy who can move, but somebody who's versatile and that can sit in the pocket and go through the reads and do that as well. Robbie Ashford maybe was too much on the run end, but also the way they called the game for him, there was no chance you were going to see throwing Robbie Ashford in this offense last year. They trusted Thorne to do both. But, he did one at an average level and the other one extremely below average. So, but here's where I'm giving cover to Peyton. I don't think he was as bad as the numbers suggest. I think that the system and the tug of war and all these behind the scenes things had a lot to do with his numbers dropping off as hard as they did. That's why I'm stressing coaching. Peyton Thorne takes a lot of the heat because he's the trigger man. And certainly there were some things that aren't really, to me, aren't coaching. Like, some of those pick sixes last year, it's just like you're a third year starting quarterback, man. There's no excuse for that. You're the one, I think Ike was one at Vandy.
Mm-hmm. One was at Vandy.
Yeah, at Vandy. Right. Like, so it wasn't like a pick six versus Georgia or Alabama, right? We're talking about teams Auburn should be scrubbing up and you're making those kind of mental mistakes. And then you carry that into a bowl game. They should have beat Maryland. There's no way. Maryland is not a better team than Auburn. They're not. But they were the better coached team, in my opinion, that day. And, if you're going to your third string quarterback in a bowl game and nobody got hurt, that's a system thing. I'm sorry. And then the guys like Holden, who have the physical abilities, they have no shot in an offense like this. If it's going to be this, because they need the system to help bring them along.
Right.
Great arm talent, right? But, if you just want a guy who's going to go out there and succeed no matter what, good luck finding Cam Newton every year. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find guys who can just go out and just do, like the Bryce Youngs. Look, man, if Peyton Thorne plays on that Alabama team behind that line that Bryce Young played behind for 2 years, they might not win 8 games. I don't care what talent you have around. But he, like, that rush, like, Bryce Young had one of the best seasons I've ever seen for a guy who was constantly under pressure. Truly a five-star talent at the college level. And when he went to the Panthers, I was like, whew, man, I feel for him. They've been dysfunctional there for a while. So, you know, they just need to, you need to, if you're going to go with Peyton, you have to improve the conditions around him quite a bit. In my book, guys, you got to improve the conditions around him, and everybody has to be better. And then, again, to me, I'll end with this. The point of starting him is that as an experienced guy, he's supposed to be the one that makes the guys around him better. But somehow, the young guys, the sophomores, the freshmen, these younger guys took the heat for an experienced quarterback. Now, there were games where they could have done better, but for the most part, I'm looking at the experienced guys and I'm saying, look, it's your job to elevate the guys around you, to use your experience to elevate the people around you and make them better football players. But we're not sitting here and blaming the young guys because you're not throwing perfect passes every play and they're dropping them. Let's not sit here and pretend like that's what's happening. That's not what's happening, right? Yeah, so, you know, Camden Brown had his struggles last year, guys. I don't think anybody would deny that he had his struggles. But it wasn't all on Camden. Because Hank Brown came into the game and he had no trouble catching Hank's passes. So what happened? What changed? Quarterback changed, so the timing changed, the rhythm changed, the confidence changed, the ball placement changed. That's what changed. So Hank Brown comes in and elevates Camden Brown's game, and that's what I expect from whoever takes the starter quarterback. Right. Come in and elevate the guys around you. And they have that. Listen, man, what we're hearing internal, they have that faith in him. They do. This team is extremely confident in Hank Brown. But what can he do to overcome the experience gap that he has with Peyton Thorne? Nothing. He can't, like, you understand? Like, he cannot just wake up one day and be like, you know what? I found that 4 years of starting experience that Peyton's had on me all this time. No, the coach has to see something and make the call and say, you know what? We're going to roll the dice here.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go with the young guy, right? Or we're going to keep you on an extremely short leash. Because if you don't, you start to lose the players around you, and then who knows where it goes from there.
Let's look at the average interceptions.
Yep.
That number is 11.
Mm.
That's 11. Factor in the number of attempts. The average interceptions is 11.
That's too high.
That's too high.
Listen.
We went over
a lot of Hugh Freeze's QBs have thrown for over. The highest, the person who threw the most interceptions, I mean, this may not be a tough one here. Many of you probably guess, Bo Wallace. He threw 17 interceptions in 2012, his first year, 20 to 22 touchdowns, followed by Ryan Applin in year one of Hugh Freeze, throwing 16 interceptions. A lot of his QBs have thrown over this average here. Obviously, the lowest being Malik Willis with 6, followed by Stephen Calvert with 7, but this is the average. What should the floor be in terms of picks, guys?
The floor, where the floor should be somewhere below 10, right? And so we're talking about these numbers in reverse, you know, for our listeners, right? Because like a ceiling would actually be the lower number and a floor would be the higher number. So we went over this just a second ago. Only two starting QBs in the SEC had double-digit interceptions. Peyton Thorne and Devin Leary. And you let Leary off the hook a little bit because he threw for 2,700 yards. His completion percentage was only 56%. But also, they gave him 371 attempts. And this is where Auburn has to fix their passing game. If you're going to accept 10 interceptions and, you know, attempts have to go up and yards have to go up. Otherwise, double-digit interceptions, they feel terrible.
They do.
There's nothing to offset that.
If you're over 10, there's some bad picks in there, is what
some really at the amount of attempts that he has, Caesar. Yeah. I think that's the point. Point is
there's some bad ones in there.
If you're throwing the ball at such a low volume and you still have double digit interceptions, there's a lot of things going on there that need to be fixed. The least of which I think is the actual quarterback. I think that that's system is equally to blame for that. And receivers obviously running wrong routes. There's a lot of things going on there. If you're going to throw the ball at such a low clip and also throwing on obvious passing downs.
Third and longs and
play calling, run, long, run, yeah. Third and long throw, run, run, you know, a negative yards, third and long throw. That was some of those interceptions last year as well, too. So, man, the passing game, if it produces average numbers, Auburn wins two more games than last year. You're not a 6-1 team, you're an 8-1 team, or maybe even a 9-1 team if you throw in the bowl game. But an average passing game beats Bama, it beats New Mexico State, and it beats Maryland. Tell me I'm wrong.
For sure. Eight thoughts, man.
Yeah.
Well, what's eight?
Yeah, if we're gonna go to a 22 or 23 touchdown part, then I need eight or fewer interceptions to be a part of that. Again, I don't think any of these aren't crazy numbers. 23 touchdowns and eight interceptions. It's an average quarterback.
That's an SEC average type quarterback.
When you're getting over 11 interceptions, now I think your defense is struggling now. Like, I think you're hurting the defense at that point.
Yeah, you're putting them in bad situations consistently. Yeah. Like, I want to see an offense that looks competent. And I think 23 touchdowns and eight interceptions is competency from your pass game. It's not Heisman. I think this is the thing I think that when we start talking quarterback, people always want to apply the Heisman standard to every position. I'm not even asking for Heisman numbers. I don't need you to be last year's Jaden. I don't need you to be Jaden Daniels in the Heisman conversation. I need you to be in the conversation where people are calling you a game manager and you're fine with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Great. When is the last game manager we had at quarterback? They just managed to not look terrible out there.
Facts.
Like, because of his talent, everybody wanted to put Bo Nix in the Heisman conversation. I didn't ask for Heisman numbers from Bo Nix. I asked for just, hey, man, value the football. What's your completion percentage look like on these third downs that our offense keeps putting you in? You know, what kind of decisions are you making on those? Like, how often are you converting on the money downs? That's really what I care about. I don't care if you're throwing for 40 touchdowns and only have four interceptions. We've got good enough stuff around you. You don't have to be that guy.
In that year that I told you the Pack produced Bo's first year at Oregon, they produced eight 3,000-yard passers. He was third in the league with 3,593 yards. So he came just short of 3,600 yards.
That's insane.
Right? He had 29 touchdowns to seven interceptions. This is exactly where we're saying an Auburn quarterback needs to be.
And we single digit interceptions
and north of 20 touchdowns, essentially. Had a QB rating of 165, but he needed 409 pass attempts to get there, guys. Huh. 409 pass attempts. In that first year, his completion percentage was 71.9%. So when we talk about mid-60s to high-60s or around 70 or something, again, that's what you need to be to compete these days in college football. So they have to be moving towards there. If you go back and you watch that mix segment that we did with Walker White, guys, Walker said he had a coach tell him, you're either accurate or you're not. And he almost accepted that. And he was like, no, wait, I am whatever I work to be. So you can tell me I'm not accurate, but if I work hard enough, I can be an accurate QB. Because people felt like, oh, well, you know, he's a running QB, and he's fighting that as well, too. This was the Robbie Ashford struggle. I don't want to be known as just a running QB. So he's working on these things now, and this is why I think Walker White sitting for a year is great, because he already has the right mindset, and if you don't throw him out there too early while he's working this stuff out, when he hits the field, he could be great. But they can mess all this up for him as a coaching staff unless he's just figuring it out on his own, which it seems like that's the expectation from some coaching staffs. We recruited you, now you figure it out. What? Come on, man. Where's the development? Where is the tutelage from that position? I think it's safe to say it wasn't happening last year because you fired the offensive coordinator. So don't tell me that it was all Philip Montgomery's fault and all. No, man, own this and eat this L. And if you can eat it, then you understand that it needs to get better and you'll do that. You'll take the steps to make it better. But you can't live in denial about what this is right now. So I went on three-man front, guys, and I made a statement that riled everybody up. And I didn't think it was a wild thing to say. Year one under Hugh Freeze wasn't much better outside of recruiting than year one under Brian Harsin. You fired both coordinators. Harsin did that. You won six games. Harsin did that. Embarrassing bowl loss. Harsin did that. Crushing Iron Bowl loss. Harsin did that. He didn't fire as many assistants. And then to top it all off, group of five loss. Harsin didn't do that. So it was a lot of the same systemic stuff that plagued Hugh Freeze, that plagued Harsin in year one. That's why this year, too, you have to move this thing forward, man. You do. I get it. It's the SEC. It's hard. And I'm not saying that Hugh Freeze is not a better quarterback than Harsin. I'm saying that, look, this whole thing where everybody's just like, just give it some time. Once he gets his guys in, I'm not as relaxed about that as everybody else is. Because better players may raise your floor for losses, but you still, the goal is to compete for championships. And when you run into those better teams, these problems are going to show, these cracks in the foundation are going to show up.
Right.
And people will be whining at a new level. I'm on a new level of whining.
I think I'm more relaxed about it than you are, just because I am still on the boat of it's going to take time to do it. I just, sure. But at the same rate, that doesn't mean that I can't expect more, especially considering, I think, to the point that we've all been trying to make, is this is what you were hired to do. Now, you did part of it. You were hired to get the recruits in here, and you did a marvelous job.
I don't want to undersell that. That was a phenomenal job. They did it.
But you were also hired to be an offensive guy and get this offense going, because Auburn's defense has been the saving grace of Auburn football for too long. And that defense has been hung out to dry consistently over the last 6 years. I mean, really since 2020, right? If we're being honest, for the last 4 years at least. But 2020 was like a blip on it's like every year that we have a good offense, it's a blip on the radar. It's like, oh, 2023, we had a, excuse me, 2020, decent offense. 2018, decent, like, but then in between year, defense is decent pretty much every year. But then the offense is so bad that it makes the defense have to go put the cape on too much. And it's like, I just want, I want both sides of the football to be something that Auburn fans can look at and be proud of.
Agreed. Look, I, you know, we're talking about next season, and in the comments to our videos recently, I've seen a lot of like the interview we did with Walker White. I think if you weren't already sold on this kid, I don't know how you can't be sold out after you watch him, listen to him talk. He's got every single intangible that you would want in a quarterback. You know, he's mobile enough, I think, for this level. He's got the work ethic. He's got the right mindset. He came in with a great foundation. He's a team guy. He's unselfish. He puts in all the extra work on his own, right? He's out here pulling honeys. Look, this guy has every single intangible you could want in a quarterback. And I think that to look good, you got to look good, baby. You know what I'm saying? So where I'm at with this is, Walker White might be the player that saves Hugh Freeze at Auburn. He might be the player that covers some of the systemic deficiencies. Now, I hate to put that pressure on that young man, but I do think that that's where his potential lies. I'm so excited about seeing him hit the field for the first time. But until it's his time, set this thing up, man, because these kids are all sitting here with this one transfer freebie thing in their pocket. If you expect them to not use it or go evaluate it somewhere else after 1 year, as long as they didn't hit the field and do anything super embarrassing, a lot of these kids will still have high market value in the portal. If Walker White doesn't touch the field and he decides to hit the portal next year, he will have his choice of school. He will have his choice of school. And you're to keep him, you're going to have to sell him a lot of stuff. Not to mention, drop the whole NIL bag, the whole collective on them to get them to stay. But you can mess this up. Walker, Ole Miss had Walker White's commitment in the bag. Because that's the type of kid he is. He's committed. And they messed it up. I think that they thought that there was nothing they could do to shake his commitment because of how he behaved. He's just such a committed kid. You know, he comes from a solid family where they talk through things and they look at things very logically. And they stopped recruiting him. Huh. And he was like, wait, hold on now. Call me every day. Now you call me once a week. What's good? Now you can't play a player, Walker said. And he went out and he found, and Hugh Freeze made no such mistake in his recruitment of Walker White. He rolled out the red carpet. He had the whole staff out there, and they lost it because they couldn't remain consistent. And so if he's committed to you, like, you have to mess this up. It's not because Walker chickened out or anything like that. Dude, I'm telling you, man, this kid is when he's in, and that's the type of guy that you need to build a team around. You've got those players in. Now just do your part, fix the system, and let these guys cook. Give them the opportunity to cook. I think that if fans just see the development, guys, see it moving the right direction, see something where you can look at it, similar to what Bruce Pearl did in basketball. He took a bunch of ragtags, and he made a run at an SEC tournament in his first 3 years, and he did things that proved to people that the coaching matters. Johnny Harris, same thing, too. Took a bunch of girls nobody believed in, and by year three, she's got them in the NCAA tournament. That makes me believe that if you give that person better players, they're going to have you in a discussion every year. And I think that that's what people are looking for from Hugh Freeze. Show us something systemically that tells us that once you do get these better players, Auburn's going to be in the discussion.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
And with a 12-team playoff, that bar is much lower than it has been in the past.
Which means you definitely need to show and prove.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to fire a coach that's getting you in the playoff every year. As long as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. If Ohio State can hold on to Ryan Day for all these years, being in the conversation but not winning nothing. Come on, man. The bar is not even going to be that high for you, I think. If you can't get over it, that's on you, bro. 12-team playoff. And you're not going to sit here and tell me that four SEC teams aren't going to make the playoff every year. Four will be in easily. If there were a playoff last year, Alabama and Georgia are in easily. 12-team. And Missouri and Ole Miss get in. Tell me they don't.
Man, listen.
I'm saying be Missouri or Ole Miss. Be last year's Missouri or Ole Miss. 10-win teams, and your only losses are to those other top 10 teams.
Let's get to the comments and with this great discussion, gentlemen. You mentioned Ryan Day.
Boy did
he dodge a bullet with Bill O'Brien. Goodness gracious. Mm. But anyway,
oh my God.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway. Or Damn Dad 95 says that Ike, how many games into the season will we know who will be the starter by week 8? How long is Hugh's leash with Peyton Thorne?
Okay, so make sure we frame this question right. Like, after you make a switch, who's still going to be the guy later in the season, essentially?
Pretty much.
Right.
He kind of answered it. He said by week 8, or he's really the first part is how many games will we know who's the guy?
Yeah. I think that by game 5, we should know who the guy is for the rest of the season. The starter in game 5 will be the starter in week 8.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that's if we're still in week 8 of the season and Auburn hasn't figured out who the starting quarterback is, then that season is in the toilet.
Or you've had an injury or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's
all things. All things being equal. Yeah,
right. Here's how this sets up. Right, you have 3 games. Before you play an SEC opponent, right? That Arkansas game is game 4. If you haven't figured out who is going to be your starting quarterback by then, you run as if that person is not one of the younger guys. So if you're not going to start the season with Hank Brown, Holden Garner, Walker White. If Peyton Thorne is your guy and he isn't going to be the guy for the remainder of the season after week four, then you're in a really bad spot because you're going to be throwing in a guy with no starting experience to play against Oklahoma as his first start or against or on the road against some, you see what I'm saying? Like now you got a bunch of road games that you got to go against Georgia on the road. Yeah. Like, where do you start a new guy if you haven't started him by Arkansas?
That's where I've been. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see Hank Brown. Well, and if it's a lot, he's got to work with what he's got.
Right? But I'm just saying you're not throwing them a winning hand if their first start is at home versus Oklahoma. If their first start is on the road versus Georgia or against Missouri or against Kentucky, right? Like, there's not a good game to start that quarterback at if you haven't figured it out by Arkansas. It better be you have no choice but to pivot. But I think that, number one, by fall, this should be cemented, right? But if it ain't going right, week three is your last chance or somebody's getting screwed.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the second part of this question is how long is Hughes leash with Peyton Thorne? I think it should be about three games, Max. Max. Because you got three cupcakes, and if it looks average to not great, pull them.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You've seen enough, right? You got A&M, Cal at home, and New Mexico.
Correct. You can't go into week four with a fifth-year starting quarterback that looks just okay.
Yeah. That's a
recipe. He can't look, not that it was all his fault, but it can't look like Cal.
No.
All right. We will definitely see. Appreciate that question, Ward and Dad. Brad Brownie says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. First year QBs under Coach Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, Liberty, and AU, 368 attempts, 452 attempts, and 238 respectively.
Mm. Yeah. So my question would be, first year at Ole Miss, are you telling me that he had all the perfect receivers that year? He still had to recruit, and they still threw the ball more.
For sure.
Right? Liberty, same thing. Like, come on, man. This is
Well, again, it goes back to what you were saying. It was something systemic at Auburn because he actually was experimenting at Auburn in ways he did not at Liberty and Ole Miss.
And
the experiment did not work well. Evidenced by the fact that he fired his offensive coordinator and brought in and promoted people.
Yeah, these are Auburn problems, guys. I'm telling you, right? It was widely believed that Arson's first coordinator hires were both highly recommended. I just wonder if Hughes' offensive coordinator was somehow highly recommended, or what it was. I think that Philip Montgomery is a solid coach.
I think the recommendation for him was to find someone who he could allow to be the play caller and he could focus on recruiting. So he was given an imperative to say, we need to get this recruiting under wraps or in order. And so go find someone who you can trust to do the play calling duty. And he just had never been in a place where that was what his charge was.
He's never done that.
Never got comfortable doing it. So this year he decided, hey, listen, man. If every week y'all want to come in my office complaining about offense, let me run my own offense then.
Yeah, facts. that's an Auburn problem. That's a very Auburn problem though, right? Is that like you come here and then suddenly this whole thing about who calls it's a problem, but it's not just play Q Freeze. And I'm telling you, that's where when they talk about Jabba and all this stuff, that's what they're talking about. All
right.
These things are pretty unique to consistently unique to Auburn.
Jonathan Taylor says, so pretty much five more completions per game.
Again, not crazy.
Not crazy. Yeah. Not crazy. Five more completions per game.
Some of these five more completions probably could have won us some of these close games too.
You don't lose to New Mexico State. You don't lose to Bama. I'm telling you,
Georgia probably gets more interesting. The Georgia game probably gets more interesting. So
the talent gap isn't really the six versus, nine or 10 win teams. Auburn had enough talent to win eight or nine games if the coaching was there. if the play calling was there, if other things are in place, there was enough talent on this team to win some of those games. You can't tell me. And that's where an upper echelon coaching staff comes into play. This is what Bruce Pearl did, what Johnny Harris is doing. You know, it's what Butch Thompson does with the baseball every year. Because the coaching is at a certain level, the floor effectively is much higher than it has been than their predecessors. There's great coaches. And wherever they go, they're going to raise the floor. And that's what people are looking for from Hugh Freeze.
Indeed. Indeed. Appreciate that, Jonathan. Brad Browning comes back and says, but isn't that what Mizzou did with Drinkwitz this last season, Mike? I think he was referring to
just the huge leap in how they performed offensively year over year from last year to this year.
Yeah, I like Mizzou has showed flashes throughout the year. It's been kind of up and down. They're recruiting. Like, I think that Drink is a great coach. Obviously, their recruiting is not consistently top tier, but they weirdly land like high level prospects here and there.
But Drink actually did the exact opposite of what we're talking about here. He was like, all right, cool. I'll give up play calling duty if that's what it takes to get the offense going. He's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, for sure.
He moved himself out of the way because he felt like he was part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brady Cook has turned into a great quarterback, SEC quarterback. And he did that under, so however, whatever that process was, that's I think that one aspect of this raises the floor for Auburn quite a bit.
Drinkwitz did what, I hate to do this. Yes. He did what we kind of hoped Gus would have done. That's basically what Drink did.
Yeah.
All right. Miller House says, add some seasoning when you said throw some sugar on poop.
Yep. Yep.
Ant Robinson says, I disagree, Mike G. Hank can save a lot as well.
Well, I hope we get a chance to see. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I do. If he's that guy, we just haven't seen enough to know if
he's that guy. I put it this way. He's shown when you talk about having hope, Hank has done enough to put hope in people that there's a QB in the room who can do this.
Yeah.
Peyton Thorne could do it, but we've seen in a small sample size that Hank could potentially be that guy. You just hope he gets a chance to be able to show it in spring.
Yeah. Right.